Supervisor John Joya. He represents District 1 of Contra Costa County, the district in the West County that that jail is in. Joins us now by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Antonia, thanks for having me on this morning.
Can you start by describing how your county got itself into a situation where it was renting out up to 200 beds a night to ICE?
Sure. And let me just say, I think this was a great victory for taxpayers and immigrant families. So, and we'll talk about that. And I think an historic day in Contra Costa yesterday. Well, originally, the sheriff's office has had a longstanding contract with the United States Marshal's Office that dates back to 1992. And that original contract provides for the local jail to house federal prisoners with revenue to the sheriff's office. And then in 2010, the sheriff expanded that to include ICE detainees. So ICE detainees formerly INS, have been there since 2010. And under state law, sheriffs have the authority to enter into these types of contracts because they're independently elected. So, for example, over the last couple of years, there's been an outcry about this contract. I've called to publicly end it for some time now, but the Board of Supervisors did not have the power to vote to end it. It was the sheriff. So that's why this is historic. I think that a lot of the very visible and passionate voices against this detention facility had an effect, along with other factors and that the sheriff acknowledged at the press conference. So there's a long history here, but 2010 is when it included ICE detainees.
It's striking, though, over 160 ICE detainees
right
in the jail at present. It sounds like a jail system that has too many beds, and your Board of Supervisors has played a role in greenlighting plans by the sheriff to expand jail capacity and go after state funds to do it.
Right. Well, I was the one vote against that jail expansion, and I felt that, frankly, what we need to do, not just in Contra Costa, but statewide and across this country, is to move toward a more risk-based pretrial system. You know, 70% of the people in county jail are awaiting trial. They haven't been convicted of anything. They're awaiting trial. And there's a lot of good research and data that shows instead of having a bail-based system, one could have a system that is based on risk, risk to public safety, risk of to the community of someone being released. And the result of that is you would have less people serving a time pretrial in county jail. And therefore, what I said is we need to first implement our pretrial system, risk-based system, which we've started to do, but it's not fully implemented. And let's look at that first, reduce the jail population before making any decisions to add new jail capacity or jail space. So but you're correct, that West County facility is going to go through an expansion with predominantly state funding and some local funding. I was against that, but unfortunately, while we lost that, it motivated a lot of people to speak out about criminal justice reform.
Supervisor Goya, do you know if there are any other communities since the protest wave began against the zero tolerance policy focused on ICE facilities that have canceled contracts with ICE?
Yeah, so recently Sacramento County voted to not extend its existing contract. There were three county jails in Northern California that had contracts with ICE. Yolo County, which still has theirs, Sacramento County, which canceled theirs, and now Contra Costa has canceled its. There have been other cities. I read recently one in Texas, one in Virginia, one in Oregon. So there's been a handful that have recently canceled. And frankly, I think it has been the increasing wave of protest over this administration's immigration policies and the desire by local communities to not be associated with those policies. So while this ICE contract has existed in Contra Costa for about 8 years, it's only been over the last 2 years or so that there has been heightened visibility, and it's because of Trump's very negative policies on immigration.
You're pulling all those facilities out of their cooperation with ICE raises a practical problem for some of the detainees who are being held there. It can be an incredible hardship for their family members and supporters to travel to visit them. We've been following the case of one person who was in West County detention for more than 6 months, pending an ultimately successful appeal of his deportation. His family had to drive up from San Jose. That was like an hour and a half each way for them. Now, as I understand it, the closest facility is going to be in Marysville, another 110 miles to the north. So like, what happens to the people who are in ICE custody?
So you raised a very important point, and I've talked to a number of immigration lawyers and immigration rights organizations about this issue. So what I've learned is, first of all, the individuals who were detained at the county facility in Richmond came from all over. Some may have been local. Many came from other parts of the state or from other states. And unfortunately, local government has no control over how ICE transfers individuals around these facilities. The good news is that at least the local facility opened its doors. The sheriff opened the doors to lawyers to come in and represent those who were detained. So one of the things I said at yesterday's press conference is we need to focus on a just closure, and we need to increase the access of attorneys into the facility now that this contract is going to wind down, and help get the cases currently pending before immigration court in San Francisco resolved as quickly as possible before any of these individuals are transferred to other facilities. Second, ICE has the prosecutorial discretion to release individuals on a bond, and they've done this in other situations across the country. So I said ICE release individuals on bond if they're not a great risk, and most of those individuals are not great risks. So that there are approaches that can be taken if we can get ICE to get cases processed quickly, release individuals on bond so that they're not transferred to another facility. Now, that's for these individuals. For the future, I think this raises the larger issue of sort of federal detention policy, that ICE is holding more individuals in detention centers than it may need to hold. It should change its practices. But we made the decision locally because immigrant families were feeling greater fear and threats because of the relationship between local law enforcement and ICE. For example, we had immigrant families, even documented immigrant families, cancel mental health appointments for their children because of the atmosphere of fear. So I think having this contract in Contra Costa, the only county in the Bay Area to have such a contract, created a feeling of distrust between immigrant communities and law enforcement and local government, and so for me, ending the contract is about rebuilding trust, so we don't have fear in our hardworking immigrant families in Contra Costa. But there's larger national issues that we need to address on federal detention policies, like what you mentioned.
I should mention that we did invite Sheriff David Livingston on to participate in the segment, and he was not able to join us. But I did want to point out in your final point, the concerns weren't just that the county was working with ICE. There were substantial allegations of abuse of immigrants whose detention was being managed not by ICE, but by Contra Costa Sheriff's deputies.
The
nonprofit that helped bring that abuse to light, Civic, had its access to the facility cut off by Sheriff David Livingston's office. Are there reforms that have to go beyond just cutting ties to immigration and customs enforcement?
I think at the Public Protection Committee of the Board of Supervisors, on which I serve, we raise these exact questions. And actually, I personally indicated that we should have an outside entity be involved with an investigation and not and for it not to be an internal investigation. It needs to be what's viewed as impartial and transparent, because those allegations, if true, are very concerning, and we would want those to clearly stop immediately. So a number of us have raised issues and concerns about that. There is, we are awaiting a report from the state attorney general, who had opened an investigation into some of these incidents. So I'm looking forward to those reports, because to me that is more meaningful than an internal investigation.
All right. Supervisor John Joy, I really appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you.